Hello, you're on Radio National. I'm Richard Adie. And this is Life Matters, a program I tried after a friend recommended it to me. And it really helps, I find, with just about everything. Actually, that's marketing. Not very subtle either. But you will hear about much more devious and successful approaches from Martin Lindstrom later in the show. And Pure and Dirty. You'll have to stay with me to find out what that is. Join me a bit later on for that. We're going to begin with something you might not have thought about. While over 240,000 Brits choose to emigrate to Australia, many are shocked to discover their pensions remain frozen at the point at which they retired. Consequently, there is apparently a 100-year-old woman living in Sydney whose British pension is £6 a week. If she was still in the UK, she'd receive more than £100, or around $150. Of the 1 million British expatriates, only half of them receive an index pension. Actually, I'm slightly surprised it's not more than 1 million. But anyway, only half receive an index pension. Jim Tilley's the chairman of British Pensions in Australia. He's been tirelessly campaigning against what he says is discrimination. His fight's taken him to the European Court of Human Rights and the House of Lords in London. But he joins me now from his home in Sydney. Welcome to Life Matters.
G'day.
There are, I think, more than a million, you may be able to update that number, Jim, British expats who've chosen to retire abroad. Who gets the full deal and who doesn't?
Well, there's about 1.2 million, between 1.1 and 1.2 million, about 600,000 live in countries, the EEA countries, that's the extended EU. Also, the main countries are the United States, Switzerland, which is in the EEA, the Philippines and Turkey, the ex-Yugoslavian republics, and there's some small Commonwealth countries like Jamaica, Barbados and Mauritius, Malta and Cyprus, but they come in the EU as well. So there's about 50 countries all up that get the pensions indexed, and there's around about 120 that don't. And amongst those 120 include Australia, Canada, New Zealand, South Africa, which contain about 90% of we call the frozen pensioners.
Yeah, I was going to say, so what does this mean if you're a Brit living in Australia, retired maybe 10 or even 20 years ago?
Well, if you retired 10 years ago, it's quite interesting because I've just done some calculations. And in fact, I've just been reading this morning a debate in the House of Commons yesterday, which identifies that the pension's going to go up. The basic single pension is going up from 102.15 to 107.45 next year. And that means that a person who's been retired for, say, 10 years is going to now lose somewhere in the order of about 48% of what he would have got had he lived in America or had he lived in the Philippines or had he lived in the UK or Spain or wherever.
Yes, that's a huge difference, isn't it?
It is a big difference.
But I mean, the Australian government tops up the amount the British retirees
well,
living here.
Well, they like to say they top up. The Australian government don't like to say they top up. The Australian government takes into consideration all your income from other sources, including from Britain. And what they do, actually, is that they reduce the Australian pension by 50 cents in every dollar that you get from other sources, including Britain. But again, not everybody gets that. And in fact, it was only a few weeks ago, that I found that I was entitled to an Australian pension, having been on the pension now having been on the British pension for about 8 years. And this was because my own assets had dropped significantly because of the global financial crisis.
But given that the Australian taxpayer does kick in, I think it's something like $100 million a year.
Something like that. Our calculation has been that if the Brits did the right thing and in fact paid us as they pay British pensioners living in the USA, then it would save Centrelink somewhere between $100 and $150 million a year.
Okay, so that is worthwhile. Given that, you'd think that our ministers would have a word with their counterparts in the UK. What kind of response have you had from
government? Well, that's very interesting because just last night I wrote a letter to one of Julia Gillard's advisers because I had a conversation with her when I was in Parliament back in September. And I was trying to get Julia Gillard to take this matter up every occasion she meets David Cameron. And I've got photographs of her on many occasions during Chogham, there sort of hobnobbing with Cameron. And I'm just asking, what did she do? Did she do anything at all? I have letters from Jenny Macklin assuring me that every time that British ministers meet Australian ministers, the Australian ministers are to bring this particular issue up. I wonder whether they do or not. Certainly, I tried to get Julia Gillard to do something about it.
Because, as I understand it, this her own parents are affected by this.
Her own parents, yes. And John and Maria, I think, or Maura Gillard have joined our organisation. So I keep pointing this out to her. This affects her parents.
Yeah.
But the woman is obviously very, very stony and very sort of determined, and you know, she's the lady's not for moving. She reminds me a little bit of Maggie Thatcher.
I don't think you could say that she doesn't love her parents, though.
No, I don't think she can. But on the other hand, look, there's 252,000 British pensioners in this country receiving a British pension. 252,000.
Mm.
If she did something in this way, you know, you haven't got to be blind Freddy to sort of realise that effectively there's 252,000 potential votes.
Indeed.
I think you might need them.
On Life Matters today, we are talking about the situation that British pensioners around the world, in fact, in most countries in the world where they might retire, they get the pension, but it's not indexed. It's what it was when they retired. Australia's one of them. 250,000, quarter of a million are here. We're talking to Jim Tilley, who's chairman of British Pensions in Australia. He's been campaigning against what he says is discrimination. Jim, it's estimated that it would cost the British government about $600 million to index the pensions for all its expats. Given the current financial climate in the UK, this isn't going to happen.
Well, it's £600 million, actually.
£600 million, okay, yes. Worse.
£600 million. No, look, people...
It's not.
Sort of,
they're not going to do it.
It sounds like a... Oh, no, look, they might do it. And the point is this. £600 million sounds a lot of money, but it is less than 1% of the budget for pensions. The budget for pensions is somewhere in the order of £80 billion a year. The other interesting fact is that this has been going on since Adam was a boy. And in fact, I've been sort of involved in this for 10 years, and I know I've got history going back 20 years. During that period of time, in most of those years, the British government has had a surplus of collections from the contributions, because it's important to understand that this is a contributory scheme. We all pay into it. And that's probably the one point that a lot of people in Australia don't realise. We actually pay money out of our wages when we work in the UK into this scheme.
National insurance.
And there, national insurance. And there is around about £80 billion a year being collected from that.
But can I just say, Jim, given that once you've been away from the UK for a while, you can't vote in British elections, so you don't have a vote, and given that they've been closing down programmes that are worth... you know, only a couple of million quid, because they're so desperate to find money, it's not going to change, is it? Then you don't have enough to scare them.
Well, we have a lot more to scare them than they imagine, because there are thousands of people living back in Britain there who would just love to get the hell out of the place. And they'd like to join their families abroad, their younger families abroad. And this doesn't only apply to the white fellas, as we call them. It applies to the black fellas, because there's thousands and thousands of people from the Caribbean and Africa who went over to Britain during the 1950s and late 1940s who are now living very often in penury in sort of some of the more dilapidated parts of Britain, who would just love to go home and live back in Antigua and in Trinidad and, St. Kitts and St. Lucia. These small Caribbean countries, the guys can't go back because they go back with a frozen pension, and therefore their income is pegged for the rest of their lives. So they stay back in penury, living back in Britain. And we're tackling that particular issue, because when I was at Chogham recently, bringing attention to this, the penny dropped to certain people in the Caribbean. They said to me, hey, you've got a point. I've got a sister, one of them said, who's working in London as a nurse, and she wants to come home. I said, and she comes home with a frozen pension. And her immediate reaction was, that's unfair.
Yeah.
That's discrimination. I said, precisely. And that is the whole point we're trying to sort of put over.
Well, you took your case to the European Human Rights Commission a couple of years ago. You didn't win. What's your next move?
Well, we didn't win there on a technicality, a legal nicety, as Dame Joan Baker said. The issue was it is not discrimination, because we are not analogous with people living in America. There's no difference, as far as I'm concerned, with my mates who live in Florida and live in California. But we're different because there's not a bilateral agreement between Australia and Britain, whereas there is between Britain and America. This particular issue, the Australian government have tried to resolve this over several years. And the Brits have been absolutely, in John Howard's words, intransigent on this issue. They will not budge. They will not move. They refuse point blank. And this is at a time when, during those years, they were collecting billions of pounds more from national insurance than they were paying out. And that is the point. There is a balance of about £40 billion sitting in the national insurance account at the moment. Now, the problem there is that that balance apparently has been lent to the government to spend on other things. And they usually, like politicians, come up with a comment, oh, yes, that's been spent on schools and hospitals.
Yes.
And I always respond and say, you know, with tongue-in-cheek, admittedly, and bombs and bullets. And they don't like it.
I can imagine. I want to move briefly on to something else, Jim, because you're a member of National Seniors Australia.
I am, yes.
Which recently commissioned a study by Queensland Uni on older workers and stereotyping. And it found that many employees over 50 suffer from discrimination and are often pushed out of their jobs before they're ready to go.
Yes.
What was your experience?
Well, I was about 60 when I got pushed out. I was pushed out because these are in the days when BHP were just trying to reduce the BHP steel were just trying to reduce the numbers so that they could say that so many tons of steel were produced per man, and they reduced the number of men, then they could improve their stats. And us old guys with grey hair, they just sort of felt, well, get rid of them. And although I did spend 2 years on a very interesting project, which I found most fascinating, assisting them in departing from Newcastle Steelworks and selling off a lot of their land up there, I was still, you know, feeling very much as if the knife was waiting to be raised to put me between my shoulders.
It occurs to me that people in their 50s are often in their prime in terms of their work life. They've got a lot of skills and knowledge and contacts. And if they've kept up to date with the technology, they probably couldn't be more productive than they are in that decade or so. Aren't employers shooting themselves in the foot by kind of alienating older workers given the skill shortage?
I certainly believe they are. I really do. Because, look, I'm 73 now, and quite honestly, because I've been working on this pensions issue, I've kept my brain going. I'm quite sure that a lot of older people, certainly people in white-collar jobs, could work on a lot longer. And they could bring to the jobs a lot of experience that some of the younger people could benefit from.
Well, thanks for your time on both these issues, Jim. We'll watch both of them with interest.
Thank you very much.
That is Jim Chelly. He's chairman of British Pensions in Australia and a member of National Seniors Australia. And we'll have links to the British Pensions in Australia website on our website. That's at abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. Coming up a bit later, Pure and Dirty. That's you're going to have to stay with me to find out exactly what that is. But next on Life Matters, brands expert and author of Brand Watching, Martin Lindstrom.